Hi, it's Louis Giglio. Welcome back to the Passion Podcast, and happy fall to everybody. What an amazing time of year, if you're living in North America, that is. If you're living somewhere else in the world, happy spring or fall, wherever you are, whatever the weather's doing, wherever you are. It's amazing in North America right now. Leaves are changing. The weather's fantastic. That spirit of fall is in the air. College football is going strong. And I mean, that's a game changer. But welcome to the Passion Podcast. We're glad you're here. We're on the way to Passion 2015 in Atlanta and in Houston. And today we've got a really amazing guest on. He's not a guest. He's family, but we're calling him a guest today. Chris Tomlin, world-renowned songwriter, worship leader, great friend, part of our house, is going to be joining us on the Passion Podcast today. And there's so much good stuff to get to. We're going to talk about some of the old days of Passion, talk about his new album. And so I want to get right to the interview. So we're going to take a short break. Get ready. Come back. Chris Tomlin's going to join us on the Passion Podcast. Well, it's pretty awesome to have Chris Tomlin on with us on the Passion Podcast today. Welcome to the mix on a very special day because Love Ran Red, the brand new album you've been working on and we've been working on for so long, just released to the world yesterday. Pretty good timing to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So excited to obviously be on the Passion Podcast and talk about all things passion. But yeah, it has been a year of labor for this record and releasing, and it's, as you said, we have been working. I like the term we, because it's been an amazing team that has been working with me on this record, Love Ran Red, and excited for the world to hear it. It is now available to anyone who wants to hear it.
Yeah, you know, I think we talk about this all the time, and we've talked about it on interviews and podcasts before, but I think the average person really doesn't have a full grasp of what it takes to get to the finish line of a Chris Tomlin album. Yeah. And it's not because you don't know how to make a record, it's because of how much you put into making a record. And it's, you actually probably made about, what do you think, like 2.5 or 3 records by now?
No question. For this album, it's definitely 2 records worth it. Speaking of the average person, yeah, like my wife, she has it's just hilarious.
It's like you just write the songs and then you record them the next day, and then we put them out the next day, and then people have it, right?
She's like, I don't understand this. Like, the song is only 3.5 minutes. Like, how did it take 3 months for that to happen?
Hey, that's a lot of love goes into one song. And I think, you know, one of these days, I really feel like we should do a podcast on the process of making an album or just finishing a song, for crying out loud, and starting, like we've talked about before, with the original demo, second demo, the third demo, the next demo, the first recording, the actual process of mixing all that and mastering all that, and then deciding at that point that maybe it needs to be a little bit different, so you go back and you start over again. But great songs don't just happen overnight. I mean, sometimes they do, and you've experienced that in your life where a song just flows, boom, that's the way it is, and it's always been that way. But most of them are a love work in process, and they're crafted very carefully. And one of those, Jesus Loves Me, I love, Chris, because it's recapturing a very simple idea. And when people see that on the album, they're going to go, wait a minute, I know that song. How is Chris, once again, you know, going to be able to write a song that I've heard since I was a little bitty kid? But you put a different spin on that song, and it really has become a song that the whole nation is singing right now, doing really great at radio because people are resonating so well with that song.
Yeah, I think that it's a simple, you know, everything we're trying to do in all of our lives, especially in ministry, from Passion, the Passion City Church, to every church that exists, you know, music is really point people to that simple truth that Jesus loves you. And this song came, you know, I think about, obviously it's one of the first songs you learn as a child, and you grow up in any kind of faith household, you learn this song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And It's such a simple thing. I sing it to my daughter at night, and we sing it together, and it's such a simple thing, and a song, and it's a beautiful little song. And then you get on in life, and you move along in life. You get older, and you make different decisions, and you make mistakes. You take decisions you wish you wouldn't have, and life takes you down different paths. And for many of us, it becomes harder to believe, really, that Jesus loves me. It's one thing to believe it when you're three and say it when you're three, and it's you just believe that. But it's another thing to believe it when you're 33 or 40 or 23. Yeah. And 18, and you're like, man, Chris, you don't know what I've done. I've really explored it. And how could that be? How could that still be true? And it is still true. And, you know, I always try to write songs about the greatness of God and the grace of God. And I try to put those two together. I'm always trying to, like, that's the balance of speaking of the greatness of God and singing of the grace of God. And in this song, I feel like there's both. There's this line in the song that says, He holds the stars and He holds my heart. With healing hands that bear the scars. Here's the greatness of God. He holds the stars. The massive, this unapproachable, massive God who breathed it all into existence that we worship. When we say, how great is our God? And we say, our God is awesome in power. And yet, it says, He holds my heart. And he's so close, too. This God is so other and holy, yet draws so close to causing the grace of God. And it's a different song to come in, though. You know, you and I always talk about let's point people to as big as we can, make God as big as we can. And then a song like this comes around, and it's a very personal song. And a lot of those songs don't come out. If you look over the history of my songs over the years, it doesn't really, there's not a lot of those. There's a few of those that are mixed in, but for the most part, that's not what I'm writing. And I tell you, it was, I even singing this song, it's like, man, this is like really simple, but this is like, you're singing it with your guts, really, but you really believe this. And that's why I wrote that, put that one little line in the chorus. Jesus, He loves me. How can it be that He loves me? He is for me. And that little line, how can it be, is not just a throwaway line. That was a big line for me in that chorus. Because of that realization after life has taken me in so many different ways, how can it be that I can say that? And I can say so much. You know, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is come as a child, and it's a childlike faith, and we know that. And to simply run to Jesus as a child with the simple is really the heart of this song of Jesus is coming back. I can say, wow. I was lost. I was gone. But I couldn't. And I've run so far away, and I've run as far as I can run, but I could not run the presence of God. And every time I start singing, I couldn't run from the presence. I couldn't run from your arms. It tears me up inside to believe that is true. Not only for myself, but for so many people. And for so many people who hear this, I pray it meets them in a time of maybe you're running, and it meets them in a time of light. And just maybe stop in the tracks and realize that you'll never outrun the grace of God, the presence of God, and He loves you. And He loves you so much that the scars, you know, by His wounds, you're healed. You can be healed, and healing comes from His scars and His wounds that Jesus paid for us.
Yeah, I love that, and I know that people, even listening to us right now, and you may be feeling exactly what Chris is talking about. Right now, it's like I'm on the passion journey. I'm tuned in enough to want to hear the passion podcast, and I love Chris and his music, and I wanted us to see kind of what he was going to talk about today. And all of a sudden, you're finding yourselves like on the receiving end of the gospel. And that's why we keep the cross at the center of all of our worship, because it tells us that God's love for us isn't predicated on our performance. It never was, and it never will be. It wasn't at the beginning, and it won't be at the end, and it's definitely not in the middle today. And, you may have made a really bad choice or a whole sequence of bad choices, but the love that God has for us is based on His love, not based on our behavior and our performance. And He may not be happy about the choice that you made, but he still can love you. And by being in love with you and for you, lead you through a process of walking on in life. And maybe that's all you came to this podcast for today. Mm-hmm. It's just to hear that. Yeah. And for you, it's really not about Atlanta or Houston or coming to a gathering at some point. It's about stopping right now and going, I'm going to stop running because I can't outrun the love of God. And I might as well just bow down right here and let that love overwhelm me. And we pray that that will happen to you today and you'll be able to receive that. And, you know, it doesn't automatically, Chris, fix the past. It doesn't eradicate the consequences, but there's no way to go forward unless you know that you're in the arms of God and that the love of God is wrapped all around you. And I pray today that that song, in its powerful simplicity, is going to be the gate through which so many people go through to come back to God. You know, a lot of people need to come to God, but probably just as many need to come back to God. And I know that's going to happen in that process. And I love, you know, the title of this album is Love Ran Red. And that obviously is a picture of Calvary and the power of what happened. You know, the song says, my sin washed white when your love ran red. But, you know, in this song, it takes on a different meaning because the love is really running. You know, he's running after us. He's pursuing us, and he'll find us no matter where we are, no matter how low we are, no matter how far away we think we are. God will run to wherever we are, and he will arrive on time and sweep us back up into his care if we'll turn our hearts towards him. And I'm praying that's happening to a lot of people today.
I echo that, and I think about Love Ran Red, you know, and I think about obviously the title. And I think I've sung it at the cross, and which would be the kind of centerpiece of this album. And obviously you can't sing enough about the cross. You can't write enough songs. You could write songs for the rest of my life every day. I couldn't write enough about the cross, and that it's the center of our worship. It's our reason to connect. And I know you've taught me so well, Lord, like that we don't worship, we don't connect with God unless the cross exists, and the cross does exist, and it's the way we have access, and it's the way we can approach God and even sing our songs and even come to him. And how amazing to think that we're talking about the Passion Podcast, we're talking about Love Ran Red, and it was a passion this past year that we launched that song at the cross. And had no idea, you know, we'd sung it at our church a couple of times, but you know, you don't know what's really going to land, and to see how that song has already landed in people's hearts. And I remember playing it at Passion and just like overwhelmed, like just stunned, overwhelmed. And I'm so grateful for these songs.
Yeah, it's so great. If you don't know, we're talking about Chris's new album, Love Ran Red. It released yesterday all across America, and I'm assuming you can get it just about anywhere you get a hold of music in the world. And I'm telling you, not only this song we're talking about, At the Cross, Jesus Loves Me, but the album's full of songs that your church want to sing. Some of them, like always with Chris, you're going to think you already have been singing them as a church the first time you sing them. But it's a really beautiful work, and I'm so proud of you. We're also proud of being a part of it, and just want to encourage everybody strongly as I can. It's just one click over, probably from wherever you are right now, to iTunes or wherever you're most comfortable getting a hold of music, and you're not going to regret getting a hold of Love Ran Red. It'll get you on the right track today and giving a whole lot more new songs of expressions of worship for the church to sing, which is really amazing and beautiful. In fact, you're going to be leading Sunday at Passion City, and I'm already looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to us getting to sing these songs together just on the release of the record. It's going to be special.
Yeah, thank you. I can't wait. I can't wait to play some new songs with the people at the church.
So we're getting close to Passion. I mean, we're, you know, it's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is the next stop on the radar, and Christmas is coming pretty fast, and Atlanta, Houston are right on the horizon. But I just remember the old days, you know, and I think the new days are like the old days. That's what I like about Passion. It really is the same thing as it always has been. But, you know, we were around back there when we had no clue what this thing was, really. We didn't fully know where it was going. We just knew that we wanted to inspire people to live for what matters most. And we say that a lot, but it's not a cliche. We really did want to do that back in 1997 and 98 and 2000 and 2003. And it's pretty ridiculous to think that, you know, God had all this in mind the whole time. And here we are, you know, all these years later, a whole new generation of college students and college-age young people coming into Passion. And I know somebody's brand new to the equation, and they've just jumped on the podcast, and they've heard about Passion, but they don't really fully know what to expect. What's the Chris Tomlin take on Passion, given that you've been there since the very first day?
Yeah, that is an amazing thing, a humbling thing to think of, being there from the very first day. And I can my take would be whatever expectation you have, or whatever you think you have walking into this, it's going to wildly exceed that, because this is not conference as normal. This is not it's not your a Christian pep rally, a Christian huddle. It's so much different than, oh, this is the next gathering. This is completely and utterly life shaking and life changing.
Yeah.
In a power packed couple days. And you're like, okay, really? It really is, because I continue to hear what is actually heard this morning, before we're doing this podcast this morning, of someone whose life was so shaken and changed, that Passion, that they have started campus ministry. They started campus ministries that have gone all over the nation, but it started at Passion, a heart that was put in them. And so we hear year after year, time after time, of God pouring His Spirit out on people, where it changes the trajectory of their life. And what they thought they were going to do shifts because of them being in a place of listening. And there's something about, I remember John Piper years ago saying that, I like to be where the waterfall of God's Spirit is pouring out and pouring over, and Passion is that. Mm-hmm. And I agree, and I can say that you'll be standing under the waterfall, a fire hydrant hose of God's Spirit and God's presence, where it's not about what's the latest. I love it, because it's not about, what's the latest music going to be? What's the latest speaking? Everybody, it's amazing how everybody comes, and especially people who are communicating, people come and they're not like tracking together saying, okay, this is what we're all going to speak about. But every message needs to point together, work together, because God is speaking one thing every time. And it is so beautiful. And then take the even greater step, that what really makes Passion so special is connecting with in these small groups, but connecting in with a new circle of friends, connecting with peers, and really working it out. It's not just sitting in a big room of 20,000 or 30,000. It's connecting with five around you that are in the same place and having the same struggles, and you're looking around going, wow, and having the same victories and the same defeats, and you're in it together, and you're just feeling the Spirit of God pouring out. And I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. I think the greatest moments of my life in ministry and music have pretty much almost always have something to do with Passion, and Passion being part of it. And that's significant, because for whatever reason, God has allowed us to be a part of something special in this history of the world. And it really is, I think, the special outpouring of God's Spirit. And you and I never throw this word around much, but if there ever was something that had God's anointing on it, it is what we're doing at Passion, because it feels holy. It feels so much like, Lord, I just don't want to mess this up. It doesn't feel like, oh, this is another conference, I'm going to play my songs. It's like, I've never felt more dialed in trying to listen to God of like, okay, where do we go? Where are we, what are you saying, Lord? And what's the best way to lead? I love that, walking in. It's kind of this holy, this holy thing you're carrying for the conference. And so if the students are coming, you're thinking, wow, Chris, that's a lot. I'm a 17. that's a lot of stuff. I'm 18. I'm not thinking about where my life's headed. Well, it's going to be incredible. And you're ready for your heart to explode.
Yeah, I love that. I feel so inspired just having heard you say all that. It really re-inspires me to be really a part of these next gatherings. And we don't take any of them for granted. Passion sort of had a circuitous journey. And some people think, well, I can't make it this year. I'll just go next year. And the thing with Passion is there really isn't a next year. There's a
right.
this year.
Right.
And next year is a variable. And that doesn't mean that we're flippant about it. It just means that as we've listened to God and tried to follow God over the last 18 years, that journey has taken us different places and Passion has taken different forms. And this year, it's taken the form of Phillips Arena in Atlanta twice and Toyota Center in Houston, Texas once. And so about 60,000 people are going to have a chance to experience these days. But I love what you said. Two things. One, we go to great lengths at Passion, and this year it's going to be a little bit different just because of space and some logistical challenges we have. But we go into a lot of trouble. We don't consider it trouble, but great lengths is a better way of saying it, to give every one of these nearly 55 or 60,000 people the opportunity to sit in a family group four times over the course of the 4 days, where they'll actually know six or eight people when they leave that theoretically they didn't know when they got there. And I know people are like, I don't want to meet new people. I want to stay with my people. But you're going to love it because you're going to have a friend from the University of Iowa and one from Syracuse University and one from College of Charleston and one who's not in school right now but is doing something cool with their life. And you're going to walk out with a whole new bank of people in your phone that you're texting back and forth with, encouraging and spurring them on. And to hear the stories of students that are still talking to students from Passion Atlanta last year or the year before or Passion Houston last year, it really is remarkable. I don't think there's anything more powerful than me sitting there going, okay, I'm at Texas Tech. I got my own set of issues going on right now, but I'm sitting here with a guy who's at Creighton, and he's got a whole different dynamic going on his campus, and we're encouraging each other, learning from each other, spurring each other on, and seeing that God really is alive everywhere on this place. And the second thing I loved, you were talking about Piper. I remember the message Piper got ready to give, and he was praying beforehand, and he prayed that that message would be reverberating in the hearts of people 100 years from now. And I just thought, who talks about 100 years from now? We're thinking, you know, Lord, speak to us right now so that we can obey you today and change our lives tomorrow. Yeah. And he's like, I pray that this moment, this conference, what happens at this arena will change the landscape 100 years from now. We'll still be thinking about this moment. And we're only 18 years in, but God's answering his prayer. And like you said, I went to speak at an event in Raleigh a couple Friday nights ago, and the guy running the event, the college pastor at the church, said, yeah, everything changed for me on that field, that one-day field in Memphis, Tennessee. And then Passion 2006, Nashville, Tennessee, that's where it crystallized for me, and I knew God wanted me to be in campus ministry. And this is a kid that I knew as a teenager. I had spoken at his church some and knew his family when he was in high school. I haven't seen him a lot in the past few years, and I just walked away, and I'm like, you just never know. So if you're coming to Passion, this is our prayer over you ahead of time, and we have people praying for you before you arrive. And it's not, as Chris said, just that we'll be in an arena with some great speakers and great musicians and great songs and a great atmosphere. But we really are praying that God will land in your heart, and his glory will make an imprint, a footprint in your heart that will change your destiny, that will change the way you think and change the way you act and change the way you live out your life. And it's more than just an event. And if it was an event, I'm not sure we'd all still be leaning in as heavy as we are 18 years later. But it's that sense of, man, you know, we don't know. We don't even know. I hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And we're believing that walking into these days. And so if you haven't thought about coming along with us to Passion, you can do that. If you're not 18 to 25 and you're just mad right now, you can probably still be a door holder at one of these events. Maybe some of them are already maxed out on the door holder side, but come and serve. You still get under the waterfall when you come and serve. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to be sitting in a student seat to get under the waterfall. You still can have your life rocked just by being in the midst of what God's doing. And if you are 18 to 25, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in Manila listening to this. You need to ask God, how can this be a reality for me? And Chris and I, we don't want to hear, just so you'll know, and I just say this in love, we don't want to hear, well, I wish I could go this year, but I can't afford it. We right. want to hear, I can't afford it. So I started praying. And I started asking yeah. God, would you miraculously make a way for me to go to Passion and join my generation, not because I need another event, but because I really want to be a part of what you're doing. And I believe if a student has that attitude, or maybe I can't afford it right now, so you know what, I just took an extra job. And I took an extra job between now and January, and I think I scraped $300 together for my extra job, and it's going to get me to Houston. Don't just say, I can't go, and I wish I could go, or I'm a poor college student, and I can't go. Everybody's in some dilemma of can't going, but everybody's trusting and believing God for him to make it work. And I believe there's a place for you, if that's in your heart, to be there, mm-hmm. that God will make a way in you for that to happen. And might just be that you call Chris, and Chris will pay for it.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give Chris's number and email address. And so any of you that feel like you just want to call him directly and talk it through, that you'll be able to do that. And he'll come pick you up, even if need be, in the King Cab. He'll come get you and drive you to Houston or Atlanta. That's what you need. Actually, that's not true. I say that in jest. He will get you a plane ticket, though, but he's not going to be able to come pick you up. Anyway, hey, listen, man, it's great having you on with us today. Just sitting here talking, my heart is kind of beating fast. Just remembering back, you know, the old days, Chris Tomlin was doing a breakout at Passion. And we were trying to figure out how we were going and what direction this thing was going in. I remember you stepping up and leading for the first time on platform. I remember us carrying that spirit of We Fall Down into Passion's early days. And remember how all this got started. And I'm still as excited about it as ever. And I love that we still get to do it together. And there's still that sense of family in it, that it's not just a random collection of people, but it's people who really have been walking together for a long time. And to have somebody like Chris Tomlin walking on this journey for this time is really special. So thanks for being on with us today. Again, Love Ran Red is the album. And if it sounds promotional, then that's what my goal is, because I really do want you to get the album, and I want you to get it as soon as you can. And you're not going to be sorry, and you're going to be thanking us all later and thanking God for what he does through these songs in your life. So, Chris, look forward to seeing you at Passion, but I look forward to seeing you before then as well. But thanks for joining us today. And any parting words for the Passion people? You know, the Aggies are rising up, so I don't know if your Aggie blood's boiling a little more than it has been in past years when they weren't that good, but it's been a good year.
I'm feeling that. It's interesting. I've gotten out my ring. I've kind of dusted off my Aggie ring and touched it on the desk now. And I'm pretty excited about the.
Do you have a 12th man bumper sticker? That's what I want to know, because that's when you're going to fully have embraced, you know, what's going on.
I know. Everybody always thought I was always a 2%er. Because I never got to go to the games, because I was doing the Lord's work.
Exactly. Somebody has to be out on a weekend building up the kingdom.
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's great. Go ahead.
I would just say to the friends at Passion, you know, and everybody coming and those things that coming. I'm even praying, you know, the thing I'm praying recently, God just put the song in my heart for people, and God always delivers. That's the heart way God, you know, get to me and hard me and to something to flow through and receive, and that we can sing. And just, and so know that, even as someone who's thinking towards Passion, you know, take that very seriously, even songs as we walk into this conference of new songs that might be something that gives you a voice, give you something to sing to God, that just really lots of fire in you, and it lets you communicate with God and worship God in a great way. And so, and it's always, and those always the most amazing moments. It's such a life-changing thing, as I said before. So I cannot wait to see all you guys in Atlanta twice and Houston once. It's going to be amazing.
Well, thanks, Chris. We'll see you soon, man.
Well, what an incredible opportunity just to remember the faithfulness of God. I remember early on in this thing talking to Chris and saying, Chris, I've got this idea. I think this is what God's going to do. And to look back now, 18 years of seeing God's faithfulness and just the privilege of walking on this whole road with amazing friends. It's been so incredible. And we want you guys to be a part of this. This is your opportunity to join us on this journey called Passion. And so if you haven't already made your plans for Passion Atlanta number one, Passion Atlanta number two, or Houston, Texas this year, do that soon. Price goes up on November 3rd. And I just have to be honest with you, there may not be tickets available for Atlanta number one when you go to the price increase midnight deadline, which everybody always does on November 3rd. But for right now, you can probably still grab a seat. If you're not a high school senior, that's been closed out for a while. But Atlanta 2, wide open. Houston is wide open. We want you guys to be a part of these amazing gatherings as we come together and celebrate who Jesus is and what he wants to do in and through this generation. So, Brad, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. And thanks for leading us on the podcast. We've got like some regularity going here.
Regularity, that's a good word. We've got a little regularity happening. And we've got a few more podcasts to go before we get to Atlanta number one. So stay tuned. Stay on board. Watch for the next Passion podcast, and we'll see you guys soon. Take care.